This is an important time. I can't tell you how excited I am about this series that we're starting. Okay, I have based this brand new series on a book called Basic Christianity. Okay, the series is called Foundational Faith. This book, Basic Christianity, was written by John Stott. Okay, I actually have a copy of the book here, and might be a book you want to check out. Okay, here's a great idea. Get it on Audible. That's helped me a lot. What a great tool. Okay, we're going to be going through this. You may or may not know who John Stott is. I had to read some John Stott in college when I was training. And he was, long story short, he was a pastor in the Church of England. And he wrote more than 50 books that have been translated into 60 languages. This one here being the most influential book he ever wrote, not according to his own opinion. He actually thought a different book was his best book. But his most influential book, according to the testimonies of the thousands that read it and who gave their lives to Christ. Okay? Sounds like something we might want to read. Okay? A couple things about John Stott before we get going. One, not everyone agrees with John Stott's views. Okay, so if you go and you research, and you should, go and research it, you're going to find some varying opinions about him, ranging from the highest praise to heresy, okay? Crazy, huh? And I'm going to teach what this guy was teaching, okay? But hey, let me tell you what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham called him the most effective man in his time in introducing people to a biblical worldview. So wherever opinion falls, Stott's greatest impact was likely his influence over global evangelism. All right, I want to quote something he said. He said, "I have a dream of a church which is a biblical church whose people love the Word of God and adorn it with an obedient and Christ-like life." That's a good quote. That ought to be the result of God's word in our lives. And when Scripture is opened up to us, when it is revealed, souls come alive. That is what happens. And that is my hope for you this morning and throughout this series, that your soul would come alive when we go through this. So before you think to yourself, well, I'm not a new Christian, okay? So why do I need to listen to a series called Basic Christianity, right? Or a book. It's called Foundational Faith. Why do I need to listen to a book or anything about basic Christianity? I need something deeper, Pastor. I need something deeper than basic Christianity. All right, let me tell you a couple things. There's nothing deeper than basic Christianity because it is the foundation of our faith, the deepest part. This book is also considered one of the greatest ever written to help us understand what the Christian faith is all about. It has been called a book of the century by some. Okay, now I don't want to give it too much praise. All right? I don't want to hold it in too high esteem, but it is one of the rare few books that I think you should read. It's worth our time. Why? Because 2.4 billion people call themselves Christians in the world. 2.4 billion. And we need to know why that is. Okay, what we believe and why we believe it. And to see if our own basic Christianity stands up to the test of God's word. Amen? So my goal here to kick off 2025, I have a few things. One, I want to kick off this year with incredible discipleship together. Okay? Deep discipleship. Right? For the health of our church and for the health of our families. I want that more than anything for you. I want your family to be healthy. Wednesday nights are just around the corner, and it will be a sermon-based study, again, based on this, okay? Those nights begin on the 15th, so it's not too far away. Number two, I want to develop our understanding of our own faith so that we can lead people to Christ more effectively. That's what we need to do. Okay, and the third goal to kick off 2025 is this, that by the time this series is over, you will realize that basic Christianity is much deeper than the basic Christianity we've all been living. Okay? We can all use deeper faith, amen? No matter where we are, we can go deeper. So let me start by asking a simple question, okay? What is basic Christianity? Okay, now I want you to turn to someone. I want you to say, I'm glad you're here, and ask them, what do you think basic Christianity is? Go ahead. I'm going to give you a minute. All right, now that's a deep question that needs a lot of time, probably. Some of you may have just nailed it in a short time, but we're going to get down to it, okay? What is basic Christianity? If it's basic and foundational, we need to be able to answer that. Maybe you grew up like me, right? Maybe you grew up in a Christian home. But how many of us know that growing up in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian? Right? There are perhaps a lot of assumptions growing up in a Christian home. One, that there are actually Christians living in that home. Or that the product of living in that home will be Christians coming out of that home. Doesn't always work that way. How many of you know that people walked with Jesus and they saw his miracles and they didn't become followers? That happened. I've seen, and maybe you've seen, I've seen some parents out there who have sought out a Christian education for their kids. That's great. And sent them to Christian schools. Fantastic. And paid large amounts of tuition for Christian education, okay, but never invested much in their own Christianity or even went to church. Some people just value a Christian education. Perhaps don't even practice it in their own home. And that's a problem because as life goes on and we grow up and we learn a few things, one thing becomes very clear. There's often a contradiction between what we assumed was true in our lives and how we actually lived. And if you have that contradiction going on in your life right now, let me tell you, you're in a good place. It's good to feel that. It's good to have the conviction that maybe what I actually live is not what I actually say I live. You're in a good place. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you, if that's how you feel. So why do we believe what we believe? Is it about what we believe? Is it about who we pray to? Is that basic Christianity? Who we reach out to, right? We reach out to a different God than all the other religions, right? Is it about the religion we think is the right one? Is it about the 2.4 billion people who we claim fellowship with? Well, let's get started. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1:1. Here we go. Let's read it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, we're going to stop right there. We're going to stop right there. If I said to you, this is all you have to go on. Genesis 1:1, that's it. That's all I'm giving you, okay? You tell me what the Bible's about. Okay? What's the Bible about? The first four words of the Bible are like those little teeth on your house key. Okay? This is what unlocks the whole thing. The key to understanding the whole Bible is written in these profound first four words of the Bible. And if you have your notes, fill in number one, the key. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. God has done something. God has taken initiative. God has taken action. And you may have asked yourself, what has God ever done for me? Have you ever thought that? What has God ever done for me? In the beginning, God. He has taken the initiative in your life. He has taken the action in your life. He has done something in your life, and he started it. He started it. Let's continue on. Genesis 1:1, and we'll read through verse 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let me ask you a question. Who created first? God. Who spoke first? God did. And he went on, if you continue on in Genesis 1, we're not going to do that, but he went on to separate the waters, to make the ground, the oceans, the plants, the trees, the vegetation, the sun, moon, stars, wild animals, birds, critters, rivers, fish. I love those. I love those things. Livestock, man, woman. I love that too. I love my woman. I do. Actually, I love it all, and so did God. And he called it good. And if you were to go outside right now and look around, you would say, what a miserable day it is out there. But no, seriously, if you go outside today and tomorrow and when the sun comes out, okay, you can answer the question right now. What has God ever done for me? He made everything. He took the initiative. He took the action. He's done it all, and he's done it for you. Let's carry this idea out further as you move on from Genesis in your Bible reading, and you carry on through the story of the Bible a little further in time, right? Because things go south really quickly in the garden. Did it stop at creation with God? Did he stop initiating? Did he stop taking action when sin came into the world? No. Who showed up and provided the plans to build an ark, to fill it up with all that creation, and to save the existence of man? God did. God did that. And who showed up to reveal himself to Abraham? And who made the covenant with Abraham? And who initiated the vision with Abraham to leave his country and to go to a land that he wasn't familiar with? God did that. Who promised Abraham and Sarah a son when they were beyond the age of childbearing? Who did that? That was God. Who promised a nation would come from them? That was God. Who came through on the promise and actually gave them Isaac, the son of the promise? Who then had Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, who had 12 sons, who became the tribes of Israel, who became the nation of Israel, who blessed the world? Who spoke to Joseph in Egypt in dreams and saved everyone from famine? Who appeared to Moses? Who demonstrated his power at the Passover? Who provided the law, which made us aware of sin? Who commanded Joshua to go and conquer? The answer? God did. Now we could keep going and going and going. If you get the point, we just, every story you get to in the Bible, God initiates it all. And he takes the action. Christianity isn't about people reaching out to find God. It is about God reaching out and revealing himself to people. Now ask yourself this question. What if God never did this? What if he had never revealed himself? Right? Had God not done what the Bible says he has done, we would all be agnostic. That's what we'd be. What is an agnostic? Let me just refresh all our memories here. An agnostic is a person who holds that the answers to the basic questions of existence, such as the nature of the ultimate cause and whether or not there is a supreme being, are unknown and completely unknowable. And you know what? That is exactly right. That's exactly true. Because we would not have been able to know God without God revealing himself to us. So number two on your fill-in there, number two, right? God revealing himself to man. Basic Christianity is about God revealing himself to man. Let me read a couple of scriptures here from the Psalms, Psalm 19, a psalm of David. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge." And right now they're pouring forth snow in Kansas City, I think. Hopefully it doesn't hammer us. I think it's a little bit more north. But you may say, how has God ever revealed himself to me? And King David says, just look around. Look around, he is always revealing himself through the skies, through the heavens. They declare what he's done. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities," okay, so God has some invisible qualities we can't see or know unless he reveals them, "his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." Without excuse for what? Knowing his existence. Paul says the same thing David says. He says, look around. He's always revealing himself. The lives of these two men, David and Paul, are the topics of significant chunks of God's word. Okay? Paul himself wrote 50% of the New Testament. And what are these men telling us? They're saying we can understand the things about God that he has revealed to us about himself. We can understand some things about his existence. So once you've taken that step out of the agnostic world and out of that mindset and realized that we can know what God has revealed, we have to ask ourselves the next question, okay? Can we know what God wants? What is God's will? If he exists, what is his will? And how do we know it? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 1. It says this, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways." Okay, so his will or what he wants is revealed by what? His word through the prophets, like Abraham, Moses, King David, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and so on, right? If we read about the lives of those men, we can gain significantly greater understanding of his will. Now, verse 2, this is even more exciting. Hebrews 1, 2, "But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." Amen. "Who he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." Remember when we read Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created everything? Here we're saying his Son made everything. He was there in the beginning. So number 3 on our handout is this: the chief expression of his revelation is found in Jesus Christ. So revelation found in Jesus Christ. What is basic Christianity about? Revelation found in Jesus Christ. It's found. Okay, we found it. Did we find it? We found it. Well, not really. We didn't really find it. That's like saying, "I found the Empire State Building. I found it." No, you didn't. It's standing there, towering 1,250 feet high for you to see. You didn't find it, okay? Now, do you ever think you could stand in New York looking right at the Empire State Building and not see it? Do you think that could happen? I did that once. I literally did that once. I took my family to New York City for the first time 2 summers ago. And my goal for the trip was to see the September 11th memorial. Really wanted to see that. Consequently, my first time I ever entered New York City, it's kind of a big challenge if you've never been there. You don't know what's going to happen, right? Or what you're going to do. The first time I entered the city, we emerged out of Penn Station. Anybody know? Familiar with New York in here? I know a couple people are. Penn Station is one of the hubs for the subway, right? So we emerge. We've never been to New York before. I don't know what we're doing. We emerge out on street level, and my kids say, "Let's go find the Empire State Building." And I looked to the right, and I said, "I saw a giant building over there." And I said, "That's a cool building." And then I proceeded to lead my family in the opposite direction to go find the Empire State Building. That was the Empire State Building. That literally happened to me. And you say, how could you be looking right at the Empire State Building and not see it? And my answer is, I don't know. How can the world go outside and not see God? It's the same thing. Some of us still don't see what God has done, even though it's right in front of us. The problem wasn't that I didn't see it. I did see it. The problem was I didn't realize it. I'd never been there, so I never knew, and no one ever told me. And even seeing it in 1,000 movies, you know, when I was like this, I was like, cool, let's go find the... We laughed the whole rest of the day about that. Just my great leadership taking my family through New York City. Good job. Good job. All right. This is what I want to say. God came to us. Let's read John's testimony from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Don't ever let anyone tell you that Jesus is not God. The Word was God, and it says it right there in Scripture. He was with God in the beginning. By the way, don't ever let anyone tell you that Jesus was a creation. There's churches that will teach that. It's not true. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing. Without the Word, nothing was made that has been made. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus Christ. A little further down in verse 14. Now, we read this for Advent, but it's so good. I have to read it again. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's called the incarnation. Right? We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He was here in the flesh. He was born. He grew up. And at the end of his life, if we fast forward a little, he was arrested and he stood before Pontius Pilate and he was interrogated and asked, "Why are you here? Why did you come?" And Jesus said, "For this purpose I came into the world. I came to testify to the truth." Remember what Pilate said? What is truth? He didn't know. Pilate struggled with knowing truth because truth was whatever he said it was. And whatever he said, people had to do. But truth was standing right in front of Pilate, like a 1,250-foot tower in the flesh, and yet he could not see it. He needed it revealed. Jesus came into this world, and he stands even now as a high tower right in the middle of this busy life that we're all going to have in 2025. He's right there, towering, waiting for you and I to recognize what he has already done. So back to our original question, what is Christianity? Christianity isn't about the 2.4 billion people who claim it. We put the word Christianity up there. Take your hand out if you have your hand out and scratch out the letters I-T-Y at the end. Okay? Christianity isn't about the Christian or anything we have done. But take that hand out and scratch out the letters I-A-N from that word, okay? Christianity is about one thing. It is about Christ and what has already been revealed through him. Circle the word Christ on your handout. Because Christ is the foundation of Christianity. Hebrews 1, now verse 3 says, "The Son, Jesus, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his power, by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." Amen. So what do we do with this huge tower standing in front of us? Number 4 on your handout is this. Basic Christianity is about a response to what God has done. A response to what God has done. We may all be wondering if God is up there and is ever going to do something. He's wondering if anyone down here is going to respond to what he's already done. Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3 says this: "The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God." What should we do? We need to seek the Lord. "All have turned away, all have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one." We see a lot of turning away. We see a lot of corruption in the world. But the Lord is looking down and wondering, is there any who seek God? Our faith in Christ and all he has done is imperative to our faith. Amen? Now, do we have any more worship songs today? We do. All right. You guys want to come on up? Let me invite you guys up. And we'll close the service in worship today. Let me read one more scripture from Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." That is a response to what he has already done. That is an eagerness to understand his creation and his will. And because that revelation is found in Christ, it stands to reason that we need to know who Christ is and everything about him and what he claimed to be and what his character is. And we're going to look at those things over the next 3 weeks of this series. And I sincerely hope that by the end of this series, you will make the decision to respond to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that you'll have the foundation of faith that is unshakable. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for what you have already done. God, I just pray that as we go into this year, Lord, you would just open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts to see the things you have done in our lives. Oftentimes we wonder when you're going to do something or the next thing, or we don't know what you're doing, but we need to see what you've done. As we look back, Lord, show us how you've worked in our lives. Strengthen our faith this year and build the firm foundation. Thank you, Lord. Amen.